this week will be entitled Blood Inside, Blood Outside of Judas Iscariot. Yes, this is the night when the Last Supper was to be held in the upper room. Here, Judas Iscariot now was told by Jesus, go and do what you desire. Here, Jesus was betrayed. Here was the beginning of blood being shed in Jesus' life. Blood, precious blood, sacred blood. But blood that did not help Judas Iscariot, no, no. But it condemned him more and more. For there was blood of Jesus Christ inside of Judas Iscariot, and blood outside, as we will see in our sermon. Now, blood is one of the most important and unusual elements in the human body, for it has a mouth and it has a voice. Yes, blood has a voice that has a direct connection to God's ear. Every innocent person's shed blood opens its mouth and speaks to God directly. He always hears that blood. Yes, Jesus tells us that when Cain killed Abel, that Abel's shed blood spoke to God of his murder, pleading for justice. Read it in Genesis 4, verse 10. The voice of thy brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground. Yes, God's ear is always open to innocent shed blood. Yes, we may fear 500 million little aborted babies shed blood around the world. Over the last 50 years, cries out to God today for justice also, but also all of those who are murdered, all of those who find death by cruel hands, their blood cries out to God for justice. Now, we read in Luke 2, 22, verse 44, that Jesus in agony in Gethsemane sweat great drops of blood, shed his innocent blood. Yes, his sweat was, it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Clearly, Jesus' whole body was covered and soaked with his own blood at Gethsemane, as he was given to see the great, great, great sacrifice that he was to make on the cross. Oh, there was only one person in the whole world then who had the literal blood of Jesus Christ on both outside of his body and inside of his body. Yes, that was Judas Iscariot. However, Jesus' innocent blood spoke condemnation to Judas, because God's ear heard the mouth of the innocent blood of Jesus speaking to him, the only innocent blood that walked on earth, sinless Jesus. Yes, that blood spoke condemnation to Judas instead of saving him. Oh, what did Jesus say of Judas Iscariot? It would be better if that man had never, never been born. Now this evening, this Thursday evening, as we see the first drops of blood to be shed, let us hear from God's mouth about the blood speaking and what Scripture tells us of this evil man, Judas Iscariot, whom Jesus identified as a devil amongst his 12 apostles. Oh, let us pray to be brought to humiliation and come in the Spirit to bow in the dust before the Lord's holy face and beg his mercy for us sinners, chief sinners, that we may be given ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to discern. Oh, hear the word of God out of Mark 14, verse 32 to 42. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, would you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He, Jesus, went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came, and he found them, asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again the third time, saying the same words. Then said he to his disciples, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, that the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he, Jesus, yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Thus far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. In this sacred evening of Passion Week, we will look at Judas Iscariot in 3 main points. Our first point is Judas, the hidden apostle. Our third point is Judas betraying Jesus. Our third point is Jesus' innocent blood speaking within and without Judas's body as a convicted and a condemned betrayer. Yes, in our first point, Judas, the hidden apostle, is one of history's most pathetic characters. Judas became a willing pawn of his master, Satan, fully complicit in his relentless attempt to destroy the Messiah. Yes, Judas Iscariot was so smooth of an operator, so cunningly deceptive, that he was like his master, who is so cunning he can portray himself as an angel of light. The other apostles never saw through Judas, nor determined what a devil he was. For 3 years he kept on his disguise until the very end, when he betrayed Jesus. Yes, so carefully Judas hid his evil nature. And yes, remember, he was even chosen by the apostles to be the treasurer, to keep the money bag. Oh, what an important position it was. He decided what to buy for the apostles, where they would eat, when they would eat. But he was an evil treasurer, just as he was an evil man. For scripture tells us that he was a thief who regularly stole from the treasury. Judas enriched himself at Jesus and the apostles' expense. Later he would be known to be this liar, but for right now he was undetected. Later he would be known to be deceitful and greedy. Later he would be called a traitor, but now in scripture he is very specifically identified as the betrayer by Jesus during the last Passover meal in John 13 verse 21. Yet even then the apostles didn't catch on, and they still held Judas in high esteem. Remember, Jesus had said openly at the Last Supper, "One of you will betray me." Yes, obviously Judas knew that Jesus knew that he was a devil from the beginning. Jesus knew this betrayer. Judas was not hid from Jesus. He whose eyes constantly search over the whole face of the earth for truth and evil. Yes, Judas was constantly hiding his real wicked nature and was pretending to be something that he was not. We read he had even been enabled by Jesus to heal people in the villages. Yes, he saw all the miracles of God and yet betrayed him. But we never read that he contributed anything spiritual to Jesus' ministry. Oh, how could a devil contribute to Jesus? But Jesus even uses evil, we know, to accomplish his purpose. And Judas Iscariot, as a devil, as a son of perdition, a special son of Satan, carries that out on this awful night. And Jesus said, "Did I not choose you 12? And one of you is a devil?" In John 6, verse 71. Now, Judas was obviously evil from birth, but we read that Satan now more fully and more personally entered into Jesus, completely taking him over immediately after Jesus exposed him at the Passover supper, for we read that Satan entered into him. Yes, Judas had remained very quiet during much of Jesus' ministry, but he was always against it. He was always fighting Jesus. He was an almost hidden apostle, living quietly out on the edges. But now Judas threw off his cloak of obscurity. He committed one of the most heinous, the most notorious crimes ever seen in the world. Yes, Judas betrayed the Son of God to put him to death. Now, in our second point, Judas betrayed Jesus and his willingness to shed innocent blood. And we see that he knew that because he says shortly before he hung himself, when he threw the money back to the high priest, "I have betrayed not innocent blood, I have betrayed the innocent blood that Jesus Christ flowed through his veins would be shed as the natural son, the Son of God." Jesus' innocent blood spoke both inside and outside of Judas. And how could this happen? Oh, obviously, a devil needs to go to other devils to do devilish work. For devilish work is best done in a group. And where could Judas find devils in large numbers except in Jerusalem, in that holy city, in the city of David, in Mount Zion, where the holy temple stood. There were the most devils concentrated. Jesus said that to them, that they were the Pharisee Christians who ruled the Church of Israel, were devils. Yes, where God's sacrifices of animals were made, where God's Holy of Holies stood, one would say, surely there are no devils here in this holy place. Surely in all of Israel, which was the only country in the world to even have the light of the world, no devils would be found in the temple. But, with such an assumption, we would be wrong, dead wrong. Yes, there were plenty of devils everywhere in the temple in Jerusalem, in Israel, and especially concentrated in the temple, especially concentrated in the Christian Pharisee leaders of Christianity. Yes, in fact, we may read the whole country was jammed full of counterfeit Christians who had the Word of God, but yet only a small remnant of true Christians huddled together and remained obedient to Jehovah. Yes, Satan, masquerading as an angel of light with his evil followers, with the cloak of religious Christianity over them, had so fully taken over so much of Israel that they ruled supreme in that day. Yes, they knew exactly. Judas knew exactly where he must go, right smack dab into the center of Jerusalem, right to the temple, where the many, many devils pretending to be Christian leaders had assembled. Yes, judgment begins at the house of Israel, in God's church first. To sin as a church leader, to sin as a Christian in a Christian church under a scriptural message is the most heinous of all sins. Yes, zillions of times worse than for a heathen who knows no better to sin. That's zillions of times worse. Zillions with a Z. So often we see God's church, his Christian church, 32 different times taken over by false Christianity. And this was the 28th time in Jesus' day. Yes, over and over and over and over and over, God destroyed Israel's corrupt Christian church because his people forsook the law, forsook the word of God, and corrupted themselves time and again. Yes, to warn them each time, God had sent many prophets. But each of those times, the 64 prophets that God sent, most of them were killed that God sent because they said, you speak lies, O prophet of God. We have the truth, and it is no different today, where so much of Christendom has assumed a counterfeit Christianity, opposite of what the Bible says. Yes, like in the time of Elijah, God had reserved 7,000 in a remnant who had refused to bow to false gods, to a syncretic Christendom. Yes, outward appearances mean nothing. The church looked so holy. The temple looked so wonderful. The sacrifices of animals looked so according to the law. But it was only form Christianity. The essence of Christianity was not there. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes, in Israel, false Christianity grew bigger and bigger year after year. In Jesus' day, it was clearly over 90% of the Christian church was counterfeit Christian, syncretic Christian, false Christian. And that is why Jesus wept over Jerusalem's rejection of him. Yes, most of the people of Israel rejected the Son of God, whom God had sent to save. They rejected him, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Glory. Yes, nearly 2,000 years later, that same rejection reigns amongst Israel. Yes, to this day, they reject their own. They reject Jesus. But to return, it was right here in Jerusalem, in the temple, within Israel's counterfeit Christianity, that Satan had his most ardent followers, where Satan had devils abounding. No, Judas didn't have to go far. An evil structure existed right there. And Satan sent Judas to ask the temple's false Christian leaders, the Pharisees, how much they would pay to capture Jesus. And oh, they were glad to hear him. For long, long months and years, they had longed to kill him. Judas knew that. And he betrayed them. No, Jesus had no place to lay his royal head, for he was hated and rejected everywhere in Israel. Yes, by the false Christian church. Oh, we must say it with tears. People who refuse to obey Scripture, no different than us today in so much of Christianity. Yes, we read that when Jesus announced that he would return to Jerusalem, Jesus had to die, and he set his feet steadfast to go to Jerusalem. The apostles knew the awful hatred there was of him there, and they vehemently protested and said that it was a suicide mission. They said, all of them said to Jesus and tried to prevent him, the Jews will kill you, Jesus. The Christian church will kill you. The leaders are trying to put you to death. But when Jesus insisted, I must die, I must go back to Jerusalem, Thomas said, okay, let's go back with him and let's die with him. And all the apostles, including Judas Iscariot, followed, bravely facing death, they thought. But now what a change has come over Judas. For Satan has entered into him, and he is knocking on the door of the temple, where the high priest and most of the Sanhedrin devils were gathered. There Judas offered Jesus for a price of 30 pieces of silver. Yes, when the high priests opened the door and saw Judas, then they were shocked, and they quickly gathered all of the Sanhedrin together and told them of this sudden great prize that had just unexpectedly fallen into their hands. Yes, 68 of these 70 church leaders of Christianity were glad to hear that one of the 12 apostles of Jesus was willing to betray him and to sell Jesus to him, and they could then capture him in the dead of the night, away from all of the sight of the people who might otherwise protest and cause a riot. Yes, these Christian temple leaders had long ago left Jehovah worship, and they openly, steadfastly worshipped a counterfeit Christ, the form without the substance. Oh, they rejoiced greatly. Hell rejoiced. Jesus was being betrayed. Oh, remember, it's not my word. Jesus told these Christian Pharisees to their faces. They were devils. And oh, how they hated him, for Jesus' light exposed their darkness. Yes, no one can hate like devils can hate, who have rejected God and who can never, never be saved. Yes, except for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, these church Christian leaders were glad to put Jesus to death. His first drops of blood would be shed this night. Oh, no wonder that Jesus said, when he looked at the Christian church at Jerusalem, his church, he said, devils sit on Moses' seat. Unbelievable. History tells us over and over again that counterfeit Christian leaders disguised as angels of light have gained high Christian offices. And we know most of these, including Caiaphas and Annas, the high priest, were high priests simply because they had bribed the Romans with the highest price. So we need not be surprised that we read that the high priest Caiaphas condemning Jesus, he and almost all of the Christian leaders, as we said, had their position because they paid the highest bribe. It had nothing to do with Christianity, had nothing to do with religiosity, it had nothing to do with scripture. They were rich and could bribe themselves a high church office. And now it is these leaders who have led Israel's Christianity and are now on this fateful night to be trying Jesus. Yes, Judas from Jesus' inner circle would lead them directly to where Jesus usually was, where he loved to be in the dark of the night at midnight. Oh, what could be better? Judas was quickly given his 30 pieces of silver. Oh, it was night in the Christian church, midnight, both physically and spiritually. Yes, it is midnight in so much of Christianity today. Where could there be a more evil plan? While Jesus was a mile away praying in agony in Gethsemane, his whole body covered with the sweat of his innocent blood, as God revealed to him the great suffering he was to go through. Jesus' blood mouth spoke and reached God's ears, but God would not change his plan. Jesus must die and shed his blood. According to the great council of peace, the master blueprint of creation placed Jesus in this moment, in this time, in this circumstances. And soon Judas Iscariot has his 30 pieces of silver. Now, 30 pieces of silver at that time was worth about $190 today. It was a pittance. It was the price of a slave. It was the price of contempt, utter contempt by Judas for his master. For For Judas was a vile one, like Esau, a contemptible one, a vagabond. And certainly the Sanhedrin held Judas in contempt. After he betrayed Jesus, he had no importance to them. Imagine that hypocrisy. They were willing to pay such a small price for the King of Kings, for him who had created the whole earth, and him who had owned all the silver and the gold in the whole world. And these fake Christian leaders had saw no contradiction. They had no shame. They did not blush. It was the price of utter contempt for Jesus, and more importantly, for Jehovah, the three persons of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Utter contempt for Jehovah. Yes, they did not know what they were fulfilling, the prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah 11, 400 years earlier, asked the counterfeit Christian leaders to pay him for his lifetime of his good service of preaching Jehovah's goodness and greatness among them. But Israel's false Christian leaders, again at that time, hated him for promoting Jehovah, preaching Jehovah, instead of their syncretic Christianity master promoted by Satan. Yes, and they dealt Zacharias 30 pieces of silver, for they so utterly also despised his ministry and his prophecy. It was the price of a slave. Yes, we read in disgust, God told Zechariah to throw this slave's wages back into their faces, back into their corrupt temple. It was the price of contempt. But to Judas, this price was far more than he ever believed Jesus was actually worth. And so he quickly and willingly agreed to their stated price, 30 pieces of silver. They would probably have been able to pay Judas half that price, and he would have done it. But the Sanhedrin did add one condition. Judas himself must lead this big gang of thugs, of the temple soldiers, to exactly where Jesus was. Judas must lead the way. Judas must identify Jesus, for it was midnight. It was the darkest of the night. In their agreed upon plan, Jesus must approach. Judas must approach Jesus first and hug him with a long hug to hold him tightly for as long as possible until the other soldiers could step up and arrest him. And the final signal would be that Judas must kiss him openly, publicly, on the cheek. Oh, with this plan and these signals all set, the mob, armed with swords and staves, counted out Judas's salary. Finally, Judas was free of Jesus. Yes, Judas at this time was a happy man. He imagined Jesus deserved what he got. Yes, this large multitude carrying a vast array of weapons were armed to the teeth with violent weapons, even though they knew the apostles only had one sword amongst them. But the Sanhedrin was not going to take any chances. Probably 100 men in this mob to surround Jesus that he would not be able to escape. They didn't want to give any opportunity to allow the people to revolt. That's why midnight worked out so well. Remember, they had witnessed Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem a few days earlier. And they saw all Jerusalem stirred up, crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" to the highest, where even the children waved their sheaves that the priests were supposed to do for that feast. Yes, the Sanhedrin knew they had to be careful. So now at midnight, this 100 men quietly and secretly gathered at the foot of the Mount of Olives near the river Kidron, which is only a few hundred yards from Gethsemane up the slopes of Mount of Olives, which Judas had said there Jesus was. Yes, look at that angry mob, armed with swords and staves. Judas was leading the way, actively helping to organize that violent crowd. Yes, Marcus, the high priest's closest guard, was lined up right close behind Judas, ready to be the first to help. Judas, after he hugged Jesus and held him and kissed him. Yes, it was midnight. All that careful silence, of course, wasn't necessary. The apostles were sleeping. Jesus had come three times to wake them up. But each time they were sleeping. And now it is the third time, and Jesus says to his sleeping apostles, in sarcasm, "Sleep on now, for now the betrayer is at hand." And yet as Jesus spoke, Judas, at the head of this violent gang of soldiers, showed up. Now Judas approached Jesus while Jesus had been praying in such deep soul's agony, where his soul was nigh unto death, such as had never been seen before, where his whole body was covered with the thick sweat of his own blood. Judas sees him, the blood-covered Messiah, and says loudly so all the gang can hear behind him, "Hail, Master!" And now Judas grabs Jesus and squeezes him and hugs him tightly for as long as he can, because that's the signal. He hugs him that Jesus cannot escape. Oh, think about that. In doing this, in Judas's tight hug, Jesus' bloody sweat covers Judas's arms and garment. And yes, when Judas boldly kisses Jesus' bloody cheek, blood enters his mouth. Judas, by doing these actions, has the blood of Jesus Christ on his hands and on his garment. He also has Jesus' blood in his mouth from that kiss. Naturally, that blood in his mouth went entirely through Judas' digestive system. And soldiers who have been in combat, I know, sometimes get blood in their mouths from wounds. Oh, I can tell you, it is terrible tasting stuff that almost takes a whole day or two to get out of your mouth. Yes, Judas Iscariot is the only person in the world to have the blood of Jesus Christ both on his outside garments, on his hands, and inside of his body. And now there is a temporary divine direct pause as Judas says to Jesus, "Friend, whom seek ye?" Imagine that, Jesus saying, "Friend, It was Judas's last opportunity to repent of this evil. Judas has one more opportunity to repent. And when Jesus said, "Whom seek ye?" the gang, the 100 men, violent men, spits out in hatred, "Jesus of Nazareth." Oh, how they despised Nazareth. How they despised Jesus. And as they blasphemed Jesus' holy name, God in his divine I am force suddenly drives them all backwards, that they fall to the ground, scattering all their weapons. Oh, humanly speaking, Jesus, had he wanted to, could have easily escaped then as well as earlier. For all their weapons were scattered. It was pitch dark. Scripture had to be fulfilled. Jesus had to die. Again, that armed gang presses around him, and Peter with his sword raises it, intending to split Malchus's head wide open down the middle. But Jesus directs that blade to only cut off his ear, which Jesus then picks up off the ground and reattaches to Malchus's head. Yes, Jesus willingly allows himself to be captured and to be held, to be led away bound. Now in our third point, Judas is a condemned sinner as Jesus' innocent blood speaks to him from outside on his hands and on his garment, and from inside of his body. That blood testifies of Jesus' innocence. For now that Judas has accomplished his task, he foolishly imagines he is free to leave Jerusalem and to go live with gusto in the things of the world with his 30 pieces of silver and the money bag, remember, that he still kept of the apostles. But at least he was free of Jesus' penetrating sermons that so testified against his darkness. No, Judas no longer had to pretend to be pious. Now he could rejoin the fake Christian church again that he had been excommunicated from for following Jesus. But most of all, Jesus would be dead. Judas knew he would never escape these angry false Christian leaders. Yes, Judas Iscariot had witnessed Jesus being drug off the pulpit at the Church of Nazareth, drug off the pulpit to a cliff where they tried to kill him. How many times they tried to kill Jesus? He knew he would never see Jesus again, he imagined. But he calculated wrongly. For now, once the full realization of the horror, the atrocity of what he has done, hits him like a thunderclap, Jesus' innocent blood begins to speak to him loudly, yes, very loudly, from inside and outside. He cannot get rid of that speaking blood that so covered every part of him inside and outside. For now his conscience is open wide to the unspeakable sinful horror that he had done. He had betrayed the Son of God. Oh, listen to Judas say it. He said, "I have betrayed not just innocent blood, but I have betrayed the innocent blood, the blood that God had decreed already in the stillness of a never-begun eternity, that a body would be formed for the second person of the Trinity, that he would assume in the womb of Mary. Yes, Judas had never believed a word of Jesus before, but now the full reality stared him in the face. None could be more evil than him. He had had his opportunity for 3 years to repent. Jesus' blood was on his hands, his garments inside of him, speaking loudly, testifying of Jesus' innocence. And Judas Iscariot's unspeakable guilt. Oh, Judas knew he had to go to hell. How loudly Jesus' innocent blood spoke to him. Yes, as we said earlier, blood has a voice, and that voice has immediate access to God's ear. Oh, how much more than access the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had an eternal voice, which God always hears and will hear. How that blood reverberated so loudly in Judas's conscience. He could not stand himself. He could not live anymore. He could not escape the horror that sinks deeply into his soul. Yes, if he had a whole world full of silver pieces that could not calm his alarmed conscience. Oh, he could not get rid of it. He could not escape. Every moment the horror of his crime grows larger and larger. We don't know how long after midnight, how long after he sold Jesus, how long after he kissed Jesus' bloody cheek, that Judas lived. But you can be certain Judas did not sleep that night. Oh, how he must have walked over the face of the earth with that $190 burning in his pocket, and the voice of Jesus' innocent blood burning inside of him and outside of him, burning already as it was his whole being. Oh, Judas must have already felt that he was in the flames of hell. And in desperation, he determines to give back that $190, imagining that by doing so that he will somehow heal or ease his burning conscience and silence this blood voice, the voice of innocent blood. Yes, he hurries back to the temple again, and he probably hears the 70 Christian church leaders in their unlawful Sanhedrin trial condemning Jesus. Perhaps he sees him on trial. Yes, he demands and calls out to the high priest and tells him, you must stop this trial of Jesus. You must let Jesus go free, for Jesus is innocent. His blood speaks inside and outside of me. And Judas must have told them, if you continue with Jesus' trial, you will make the same mistake I made. Here are the 30 pieces of silver back. I must go to hell. Hell is open before me. Take this money back, though I have one less sin to suffer in hell. Oh, how desperately he must have pleaded with the high priest to stop the trial, to stop the crucifixion of Jesus, saying now he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Now he knew he had betrayed innocent blood. Yes, you can imagine the high priest wasn't happy to have this man trying to interrupt the trial to free Jesus and to answer Judas's emergency request. Oh, the high priest slammed the door on Judas's face, and he told the guards, "Get that awful man out of here." Yes, the high priest scoffed at the trembling, desperate fool standing before him. Yes, they could laugh at Jesus, at Judas's terror to scorn, and say, "That's your problem. You see to it." Yes, two devils accusing each other, facing each other. Devils accuse each other in hell. Judas only wanted to lessen his punishment, but devils have no problem betraying other devils or scoffing at others. Yes, we read in Psalm 2 that even God will laugh those in hell to derision for their foolish, foolish, foolish choice. God had made a way of salvation in Jesus' blood, and they had rejected it. Who but Judas, 3 years under the ministry of Jesus, seeing all the good, seeing all the great works, hearing all the loving words of Jesus, who but Judas would reject that? No, the pity of a devil dealing with another devil does not exist. Judas, the longer he argued, the less the high priest listened to him. And Judas, before the high priest slammed the door for the last time upon him, threw that 30 pieces of silver back into the temple. Yes, we read that in total despair now, he went and hung himself on a tree at the edge of the valley of Hinnom. That valley was the valley where Israel's and Judah's and Jerusalem's garbage was dumped. It was where the heathen god of Baal had always stood. It was a filthy place, known everywhere for its filthiness. It was very near the temple where Judas gave up his life and hung himself. Jesus' blood inside and outside of him, he could not escape that condemning voice. He had to go to hell, which was open before him. Thus ended Judas, except when the temple guards cut down Judas from hanging himself, he fell against a sharp object below, and we read that his bowels gushed out, adding to the filth of the valley of Hinnom. Thus ended Judas in the valley of garbage, with his bowels gushed out and his soul in hell. Oh, awful black crime, dreadful deed of Judas. Now, throughout this sermon, you've been hearing about the voice of blood and how it condemned Judas, who had it in his body in the wrong way. Yes, throughout the Bible, God strictly forbids the eating of literal blood, but he says the very opposite about figurative blood. Yes, God insists that all of his children eat his flesh and drink his blood figuratively in the Lord's Supper. For God's children, that figurative blood they receive speaks volumes inside of them of righteousness in another, in Jesus Christ. Yes, in heaven's sacred court, Jesus' voice and the voice of his blood always speaks in intercession to his Father, saying for his people, for his children, "Father, I will that this prayer be answered, for my blood is sprinkled upon it." Oh, thanks be to God that God's children, his beatitude children, they have the voice of blood pleading for them inside. So opposite of Judas Iscariot, condemned inside and outside. Yes, today, if you hear the voice of God, today is yet the day of grace, the time of salvation. I lift up Jesus Christ in all of his power, might, majesty, and beauty. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse the greatest sinner. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, heals all sin. Amen.